Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Jeff Pilgrim is here to commence a further chapter of Office Wife. This afternoon, I was on top of the world. I'd made Benny Puller see eye to eye with me over the handling of his contract. I'd postponed my trip to the West Coast, and I went to the hospital to make arrangements to bring Marcia home. And then, well, I went to Marcia's handbag for cigarettes. And there were her return plane tickets for 3 days after I was supposed to leave. You can see what she was up to, can't you? She was going to follow my secretary and me and spy on us. And what makes me livid, she's been loving and affectionate all the week with those plane tickets lying in a bag waiting to be used. It makes me sick. Well, if that's the sort of individual she thinks I am, I may as well give her something to be suspicious about. And that's why I'm on the tiles tonight with Stella. We're at the Cheesecake Club in Fig Tree Street, do you know it? Hot music and watered whiskey, downstairs baccarat, and chemin on top. Such fun. Whew. Dancing in this crowd's like being mixed up in a stampede. Well, I'm hanged, Stella. Look, Harry Palmer and Millie Moffat.
Hi there.
Hello, people. How's the stately pavane?
A kind of shaky on a pavane, aren't we, Stella?
Not bad. I never heard of it. Some kind of jitterbug, maybe, Harry?
The pavane, my puppet, was danced in the Spanish courts of old.
Gee. Anyway, I don't go for that old-style stuff. I'm a hep-hep kitten.
Millie, please, you'll ruin my social standing.
Well, you don't have to go stoppy on account of we've run into Stella and Mr. Pilgrim, do you?
Are you two by yourselves? Why don't we make it a foursome?
Suits me.
Well, I'm going to powder my nose. Come here, Stella. We won't be long.
We'll see you back at the table.
What are you putting in it? Ginger ale?
Unless you want it neat.
Oh, no, ginger for me.
Cheers.
Looking at you. There's smoke in this dive.
This is no dive. This is the best pleasure dome in Fig Tree Street. Listen, no tales out of school, but what are you doing here with La Bronson?
Having a damn good time.
While the loved one lies a-pining in our hospital bed?
Oh, shut up, Harry.
What happened? You can tell me.
I'd rather not, but in future. Oh, well, never mind.
Does Marcia know?
Well, scarcely. And I don't care a tinker's benediction if she does. I might even tell her.
It's not going to look too good round the office.
Hang the office. They don't own me body and soul. Just because Marcia is the proprietor's niece and heir, I'm not going to run around like a poodle on a leash. No, sir, not me.
Well, you are sore. Look, you better get it off your chest before the girls come back. What's the matter?
I found plane tickets in Marcia's bag this afternoon. She was planning to follow us to the West and do a little spying. Oh, hang it all, a man's wife.
Well, I say, that's bad. I didn't think Marcy would do anything like that.
No, there it is. I ran into Hendricks and Stella at Carassia's, and here we are.
How does she feel about getting you on the first bounce, as it were?
I don't know, and I don't care. She's a sweet, glowing female, that. I'm beginning to like her.
Just beginning to?
Let's have another drink.
You'll be fine.
Good. Let's have another drink.
Ah, here come the girls. You'd better dance the groove with Millie, or she'll think your nose is in the air.
With pleasure. Listen, I'm going to do this a bit more often. Start at Cuirassier's, dinner somewhere quiet and dim with a bottle of Riesling and then liqueurs, a fast drive around the bay to Fig Tree Street, And then this till 4 in the morning. This is the life for me.
You mean with Marcia?
Don't be a fathead. I mean with Stella Bronson.
Now, listen to me, Marcia. It's not a scrap of use flying into hysterics and weeping your eyes out. You've only yourself to blame.
But he looked just as though he hated me.
Men can detest you for a minute and then forgive and forget and love you all the more. It's only we women who hug and nurse our grievances.
You didn't see the way Jeff looked at me when he left here.
Well, what can you expect? Did you expect a kiss for being a thoroughly nasty, deceitful wife? You've had 3 or 4 days to tell him and say you were sorry. I suppose you kept putting it off.
Yes.
Moral cowardice never gets you anywhere. If you'd told him what you were up to, he'd have forgiven you on the spot. As it is, well, I'll have a word with Jeff myself.
Oh, would you, Aunt Harriet?
Not to stick up for you, mind. Just to convince him that you were going to tell him yourself. Mightn't do much good, but it certainly won't do any harm.
Oh, I'll never do anything underhand again, I promise you, never. And it wasn't a spy, as Jeff thinks. It was just to get Stella Bronson out of the way.
As far as I can see, she's never been in your way. Why, if you let your silly imagination run away with you like this, you'll be thinking, well, you'll be telling me your husband's with her this minute.
He's probably sitting at home. Thinking what a horrible person he's married to.
Nonsense. Give him a big hug when he comes home tomorrow evening. He'll forget all about it in a week, mark my words.
Oh, I hope so. Because if he doesn't, I know what I'll do. Should I ring the flat and tell him I love him? No.
That's a very good idea. I'll get the nurse to bring you a cellar.
What's your idea of Jeff and Stella out together while Master's in hospital, Poppy?
Man, Jeff Pilgrim can be kind of snooty when he likes, but he's no better than the rest of them.
Do you remember when you rang Master that night and let it slip about Jeff being at Stella's flat?
Do I? Was she burning? I could feel her sizzle over the phone.
Do you think she'd sizzle if you told her about tonight?
Sizzle? She'd go off like that boy on the burning deck.
Yes. Well, we'll just wait for our opportunity, Millie. Poor old Jeff. He's not enjoying himself, really.
He should be. How much closer could Stella hold him?
Looks good, doesn't it? Cheek to cheek and her nice golden arm round his neck.
Say, what's wrong with my arm round yours?
Now, little one.
Well, you're not going to dance with me and stare at Stella Bronson. Not if you want me to keep quiet and tell tales on Jeff Pilgrim for you.
Dear me, you can be difficult at times, can't you, Millie? Sometimes I wonder if you're a good investment.
No answer, Marcia?
No. Can't be home. Oh, it's no use my hanging on any longer. Now, I do wish Jeff was home. Where can he be?
I can think of a score of places. So can you.
Do you think I should ring the office?
No, I don't. Just relax and go to sleep. Nearly 11 and I want to go home. They'll be throwing me out in a minute anyway.
All right, Aunt Harriet. Will you come for me tomorrow?
What's Jeff doing?
Sending a cab.
He must be annoyed with you. Oh, well, never mind. Get a good night's sleep and I'll be here in the morning. Good night, Marcia.
Good night, Aunt Harriet.
Well, I'm hanged. I could have sworn I left the lights out. Good Lord, Aunt Harriet. Asleep. Aunt Harriet, wake up.
Huh?
Come on, wake up.
What's the time?
Oh, fell asleep in front of your fire.
It's 3 o'clock. How long have you been here?
Oh, since soon after 11. The janitor opened the door for me. Well, he intended waiting 10 minutes or so, but I turned your fire on, and here I am.
Oh, you must feel awful. Would you like me to make you some coffee?
No, thank you, Jeff, dear boy. Keeps me awake. Wouldn't mind some tea, though.
Good. I'll shove on the electric jug.
Where have you been? Or isn't it any of my business?
Oh, just that.
I see. None of my business. Marcy is terribly worried.
She deserves to be.
No, she doesn't, Jeff. She wasn't following you to the West to spy on you. She had some scheme for getting rid of Stella Bronson. And I know for a fact that she wasn't going through with it, and she was going to tell you herself. She's not a mean girl, Jeff.
Oh, I know, Aunt Harriet. I feel pretty beastly about the whole affair.
Is that why you've been out on the tiles tonight?
How can you tell?
One so seldom sees you with bags under your eyes, Jeff.
I've been breathing thick smoke all night, and I've had one or two drinks more than usual.
Who with?
Harry Palmer. Harry Palmer and one of his girls at a place called the Cheesecake Club on Fig Tree Street.
Marcia rang here tonight.
Oh, too bad.
What are you going to do tomorrow, Jeff? Just let the cab call for her at the hospital?
No. I was furious when I told you that. I'll go and get her, of course.
This secretary of yours, Jeff, as long as you have her, there's going to be friction. You know that, don't you?
But there shouldn't be. It's utterly unreasonable. The longer Marcy behaves like a child about her, the longer I'll keep her in my office. Look, Aunt Harriet, it's a matter of pretty deep principle. If I give in to Marcia over Stella Bronson when there's no earthly reason why I should, I'll be taking away what I think is the mainstay of my marriage. I'll be letting Marcia undermine the very foundation of our marriage.
She must learn to trust you. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes. When she can come to me and say, have 20 Stella Bronsons if you want to, Jeff. I know you won't cheat. Then I'll be only too happy to give in to her. But not before.
Young man, I'd like to be able to take that at its face value.
Well, why can't you, Aunt Harriet?
Because whoever you've been kissing tonight has left lipstick all over your face, and it's not Marcia's. Don't think I'll wait for that tea, Jeff. Good night.
Oh, what a crazy fool I've been. I didn't want to take Stella out. I was just furious with Marcia. I've been kicking myself all night. And as for kissing her, she shoved her arms around my neck when I handed her out of the cab. Now, I haven't a leg to stand on. What the devil's a chap to do? Tell Marcia? Oh, how could I have been such a fool?
We invite you to listen again to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.